The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
With me now, though, in studio is Alan Shatter, former Minister for Justice, former member of Fine Gael, of course, and now an independent candidate in the upcoming general election. Alan, thanks a million for joining us.
Sure.
I suspect Roderick O'Gorman gave us our election date this morning. We might talk about that in a moment, but why? Why are you running again?
Primarily because a lot of people have been asking me to run, particularly over the last year. Whenever I'm out in a restaurant with my wife or going shopping in one of our local shops, people have come up to me, asked me to get back into politics. And quite frankly, if you'd asked me this time last year, would I? I think probably the answer was no. But events that have happened in the last 12 months have, I think, brought new insights into what I think is important in the context of my engaging in politics. And a particular thing, I've been involved as chairman of the Inheritance Tax Reform Campaign. We only created ourselves back in June. We did so because the way inheritance tax currently works is grossly discriminatory, very unfair. It's double taxation, and it's causing a lot of upset to a lot of people. And I know it doesn't affect a section of the community, but it substantially impacts on another section. And we commenced a campaign to seek the abolition of inheritance tax, or as a minimum, its fundamental reform. We made a very detailed submission to the Minister for Finance back in July, explaining all of the difficulties with it and the anomalies and the unfairness. And then we held a public meeting to get feedback from people in the beginning, in early September. And I expected maybe 30 or 40 people would turn up at the meeting. We ended up with over 250, standing room only. We had a great engagement and discussion about the tax, and many people at that meeting were urging that I run as a candidate in the Dáil. We got to the budget, and the minister made some minor changes to inheritance tax, didn't address the fundamental unfairness of it, no indication that any party in government or in opposition or any independent candidate in our constituency is going to advocate for its abolition. I received a deluge of emails urging me to stand. Okay. And we made the decision some days ago that I would stand as a candidate, and we rapidly put together an election leaflet that hasn't yet been distributed. It's going to start being distributed on Monday. I brought it in to you because in some shape or form it was leaked yesterday, which I'm not complaining about. That's fine. And that's like the background. But it's not simply the inheritance tax
issue. Yeah, I was going to ask, you're not a single issue candidate now, are you?
No, it's not simply the inheritance tax issue. It's a very important issue, and I hope that if I get substantial support within the constituency, that it will bring a message into Leinster House and to the next government that they must address the problems of inheritance tax. And I'll be asking voters, whether they're normally Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil or Labour or Social Democrat voters, to give me a number one vote to send a signal to government to get rid of inheritance tax and then vote on for other candidates. But look, I've been on the sidelines of politics for 8 years.
Yeah.
And in fairness to the current government, they've done some very good things. We've got our economy back functioning really well. We've got unemployment down. We now know that the cost of living is reducing. The Irish economy is in a really strong position, and it's a tribute to correct decisions made by government. But they've got so many other things wrong.
Like what?
Well,
a few examples.
Well, let's take an area that I have had an interest in throughout my life, both as a lawyer and a campaigner and as a TD, and that area relates to children. We have over 250 young people suffering serious spinal difficulties who are on long waiting lists, 3, 4, 5 years for surgery. Mm. No light at the end of the tunnel, no priority given to it by government. We have many, many children who are on the autism assessment waiting list, whose lives are partly on hold because we haven't prioritised addressing that area. We have, according to a recent decision and judgment by one of the district court judges dealing with childcare issues, there are over 250 children who are currently recognised as requiring care who don't have a designated social worker.
Yeah.
And then we have...
Are they not resource issues? And
They're not.
A lot of people, you know, would be nodding along to this. But if a government rep listening to this might be saying, hold on, we'd solve all those problems if we could.
No, they've
but
had...
these are resource issues.
No, they've had many years to solve them and there's no resource issues in the context of the current budget and the massive...
Well, so there, but there is resource issues in terms of the labour force. And that's what they'd say, that we can't find the people you need to fill those roles.
There isn't. If you pay the adequate salaries to provide for these, what are specialist functions? And I mean, extraordinarily, in the context of children with spinal injuries, the government announced a long time ago that they set up an additional fund to facilitate the required surgeries and address the issue. What happened? The waiting list increased. And we then discovered 9 months later, the fund had been appropriated for other purposes. Then you have the absolute scandal of the Children's Hospital. I was in cabinet when we were discussing the Children's Hospital. Mm. It was in or about 2013, possibly late 2012. And the objective was to have a hospital constructed that would be constructed by 2018. The estimated cost was 650 million euros. And where are we today? The costs are now going to reach approximately 2.5 billion.
Whose fault do you think that is?
And I think the government must, and successive ministers are responsible for this. They're accountable for it. There's been a lack of adequate oversight. There's been extraordinary planning failures. I mean, what they did was they went to tender to construct a hospital, and having gone to tender, they've made an extraordinary number of variations to the construction plan for this hospital as this construction is taking place. There's been a lack of proper accountability, a lack of proper oversight. I fear this hospital, which is so badly needed, has little chance of truly opening before 2026, possibly not going to be open until 2027. So in the children's area, and I could go on, there are a range of other issues.
I'm sure.
I believe that if I'm elected to the Dáil, not only can I hold government accountable for these issues, but I can ensure, based on my own knowledge and expertise, that they're better and more competently addressed.
What would you say to people listening to this who think all the people who are responsible for these poor decisions or a lack of decision maybe in some cases, that they're all your former colleagues? Most of them are your former colleagues. What's going to make Alan any different?
Yeah, well, that's what makes it so unfortunate. I quietly left Fine Gael in 2018, having been a member of the party for I think approximately 34 years. And I left Fine Gael because I concluded that the party had lost its moral compass. And I praised the current government and the previous government for making correct economic decisions. Mm. But when I was in Fine Gael, I was one of the people who set the social policy and the social justice policy and brought forward a whole raft of legislation needed in that area. And there's been an enormous gap in that area. These issues are really important. They affect real lives of real families, but they're not perceived as necessarily electorally relevant.
What was the decision that led you to that point, they had lost their moral compass?
Well, there was three or four decisions. I don't want to dwell on one of them, which was my own personal experience of dealing with colleagues when there were false allegations made against me, when I was vindicated, when everything possible was done to prolong a process that should never have happened. Mm. But also, there seemed to be an obsession, which I think has now got worse, with addressing issues based on how can you get the best headline in the next morning papers. Now the obsession has extended to how can I best manipulate and present myself on social media. There's an obsession in talking about issues in soundbite terms, ignoring complexity, perhaps leaving sitting on the shelf issues that are perceived as not necessarily populist, but really should be dealt with. Mm. So there's a complete change of moral compass in dealing with issues. And frankly, there's now a competition as we're heading into the election on certain issues. It seems that Taoiseach and the Tánaiste within the one government are competing on issuing statements of no great relevance to the issues they're talking about. This has affected the entirety of the Dáil. I could say similar things about opposition parties. There's too many false battles, which are really simply created within the Dáil chamber to generate media attention, as opposed to addressing the real issues that affect real people.
The 29th, is that the kind of the date now that you've circled on the calendar since Roderick O'Gorman revealed it as his preference today, the Green Party leader.
I would have to say I always anticipated a November election because of the importance of getting through the finance bill and the social welfare bill. Frankly, I anticipated it would be a week earlier. I don't mind what the date is. It's important now that there's a degree of certainty because there's too much talk of a general election, too little focus on people's real problems. And there are other areas I want to address. I mean, I'm 73 years of age. I'm supposed to retire according to the ethos that currently prevails within Irish politics. Extraordinary number of people of experience and insight leaving this Dáil. And effectively, we're operating now within a very ageist system within politics.
You think so?
But I think right across...
I think they're leaving, though, a lot of them, and a lot of them, some of your former colleagues within Fine Gael, simply because they've just been in government so long.
I think some of them have had enough, and I can understand it, and some of them want to get out. But there's a prevailing ethos. By the end of... By the beginning, I should say, of 2030... over a million people living in our fantastic state will be seniors. They'll be over 65 years of age. And, you know, I like to labour under the illusion that I'm still 39. I know I'm not. But, you know, today's 70-year-olds, if you go back maybe 30 or 40 years, were then 50-year-olds. Fortuitously, we have better lifestyles. We're living, many people, more vigorous lives. They're in better health. And there's far too many people, frankly, who don't want to retire, who have expertise and wisdom to bring to whatever walk of life they're engaged in, who are being forced to retire. And we also have a government that doesn't take account of the real issues affecting seniors. We know, and rightly so, that the government addresses what I describe as the financial side of things on pensions and social welfare payments and fuel allowances, which is usually important. But there's a lot of issues that impact on our senior community who still have hopes and aspirations, which government ignores, which do not get a voice in Leinster House. And I'm hoping that if I get elected, I'll have an opportunity to give those issues far greater coverage than they currently get.
Alan Shatter is a former Minister for Justice. He's an independent candidate in the Dublin Rathdown constituency in the upcoming general election. Alan, thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.